devotees.
Krishna.
All glories to the Sangha devotees. Glories to the Sangha devotees. Glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 1, Text 11. Second part of the purport. So we'll just go back the verse because it was done yesterday, but briefly run it through, and then there's no harm in doing that, and then the purport. Etani vidyamananam. Ichatam akuto bayam. Yoginam ripa nirnitam. Harir namanu kirtanam. Etan nirvidya mananam. Ichatam akuto bayam. Yoginam ripa nirnitam. Harir namanu kirtanam. Etam nirvidyamananam. Ichatam akuto bayam. Yoginam ripa nirnitam. Harir namanu kirtanam. Etam nirvidyamananam. Ichatam akuto bayam. Yoginam ripa nirnitam. Harir nam anukirtanam. Out of this. So, purport by His Divine Grace. Okay, I'll go through the translation and then go. O King, constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord after the ways of the great authorities is a doubtless and fearless way of success for all, including those who are free from all material desires, those who are desirous of all material enjoyment, and also those who are self-satisfied by dint of transcendental knowledge. And the purport starts from continuation, Sri Jiva Goswami. Sri Jiva Goswami instructs the chanting of the holy name of the Lord should be loudly done. And it should be performed offenselessly as well, as recommended in the Padma Puran. One can deliver himself from the effects of all sins by surrendering himself unto the Lord. One can deliver himself from all offenses at the feet of the Lord by taking shelter of his holy name. But one cannot protect himself if one commits an offense at the feet of the holy name of the Lord. Such offenses are mentioned in the Padma Purana as being 10 in number. The first offense is to vilify the great devotees who have preached about the glories of the Lord. The second offense is to see the holy names of the Lord in terms of worldly distinction. The Lord is the proprietor of all the universes, and therefore he may be known in different places by different names. But that does not in any way qualify the fullness of the Lord. Any nomenclature which is meant for the Supreme Lord is as holy as the others, because they are all meant for the Lord. Such holy names are as powerful as the Lord. There is no bar for anyone in any part of the creation to chant the glory. And Lord, by the particular name of the Lord, as it is locally understood, they are all auspicious. And one should not distinguish such names of the Lord as material commodities. The third offense is to neglect the orders of the authorized acharyas and spiritual masters. The fourth offense is to vilify scriptures or Vedic knowledge. The fifth offense is to define the holy name of the Lord in terms of one's mundane calculation. The holy name of the Lord is identical with the Lord himself, and one should understand the holy name of the Lord to be none different from him. The sixth offense is to interpret the holy name. The Lord is not imaginary, nor is his holy name. There are persons with a poor fund of knowledge who think the Lord to be an imagination of the worshipper, and therefore think his holy name to be imaginary. Such a chanter of the name of the Lord cannot achieve the desired success in the matter of chanting the holy name. The seventh offense is to commit sins intentionally in the strength of the holy name. In the scriptures it is said that one can be liberated from the effects of all sinful actions simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord. One who takes advantage of this transcendental method and continues to commit sins in the expectation of neutralizing the effects of sins by chanting the holy name of the Lord is the greatest offender at the feet of the holy name. Such an offender cannot purify himself by the recommended method of purification. In other words, one may be a sinful man before chanting the holy name of the Lord, but after taking shelter in the holy name of the Lord and becoming immune, one should strictly restrain oneself from committing sinful acts with the hope that this method of chanting the holy name will give him protection. The eighth offense is to consider the holy name of the Lord and his chanting method to be equal to some material auspicious activity. There are various kinds of good works for material benefits, but the holy name and his chanting are not mere auspicious holy services. Undoubtedly, the holy name is holy service, but he should never be utilized for such purposes. Since the holy name and the Lord are one and the same identity, one should not try to bring the holy name into the service of mankind. The idea is that the Supreme Lord is the Supreme Enjoyer. He is no one's servant or order supplier. Similarly, since the holy name of the Lord is identical with the Lord, one should not try to utilize the holy name for one's personal service. The ninth offense is to instruct those who are not interested in chanting the holy name of the Lord about the transcendental nature of the holy name. If such instruction is imparted to an unwilling audience, the act is considered to be an offense at the feet of the holy name. The tenth offense is to become uninterested in the holy name of the Lord, even after hearing of the transcendental nature of the name. The effect of chanting the holy name of the Lord is perceived by the chanter as liberation from the conception of false egoism. False egoism is exhibited by thinking oneself to be the enjoyer of the world and thinking everything in the world to be meant for enjoyment of oneself only. The whole materialistic world is moving under such false egoism of I and mine, but the factual effect of chanting the holy name is to become free from such misconceptions. Shri Chaitanya Manobishram Staptanyena Bhutalisam Pakaramayam Vadadisa Parantika. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Raita Garada Shri Vasudhi Gaura Bhaktikam. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, this is a pretty serious topic. We don't deal with it every day. I mean, we do chant and try to follow the rules and regulations, but we don't discuss every day about the offenses in chanting the holy name. And it's stated that if one commits sinful activities while chanting the holy names, then despite his endeavor to chant the holy names so many births, he will not get love of Godhead. And this is our goal, to achieve Krishna prema. And so Srila Prabhupada has dedicated a great part of this purport on these 10 offenses. So we'll go through them one by one, and then we can discuss the remedy for committing each offense. And the first one is to blaspheme the devotee who has dedicated his life to propagate the holy names of the Lord. To blaspheme the devotees who have dedicated their lives for propagating the holy names of the Lord. So, Haridas Thakur was asked who is a devotee, and he actually says that one who chants with faith the holy name can be considered. One who chants even once with faith the holy name of the Lord can be considered a Vaishnava. But then he went on to say that an advanced Vaishnava is known by his attachment to the holy name. How much he is attached to the holy name of the Lord. So much he's advanced. It is not his varnashram status, be him whatever, you know, within the varnashram, grihastha, brahmachari, sannyasi, or whatever, and so forth. But how much he's attached to him. Not his wealth, not his accumulation of knowledge, not his beauty, not his strength, not his fame, none of these is counted in terms of advancement of a Vaishnava. So this is very much awakening here. We know Vaishnavas are of three categories, the Madhyama, the Kanishta, the Madhyama, and the Uttama. The Kanishta is, the Kanishta takes care of the deities, but does not care too much about the Vaishnavas, nor like to serve them much. And then the Madhyama is loves Krishna, friends with the devotees, avoids people who hate Krishna and the devotees. And the Uttama sees Krishna everywhere, sees everything rests on Krishna, makes no distinction between Vaishnava and non-Vaishnava. So to be an Uttama is in a special position, really. But basically most devotees fall within the Kanishta and the Madhyama platform. It's also stated that the devotees have 26 beautiful qualities. These qualities are: devotees merciful, tolerant, equal, free of hatred, truthful, pure at heart, engaged in acting for the welfare of others, unagitated by material desires, intelligent, self-controlled, not interested in collecting material possessions, gentle and pure, each frugal, is peaceful at heart, takes shelter only of Lord Krishna, is sober and grave, has defeated the six vices, and is priceless, respectful to others, expert, honest, and wise. I say that a true devotee has all these good qualities. So, now I've discussed different qualities of the devotees, and so if we blaspheme such devotees, we can be in a very precarious situation. What is called like the mad elephant's offense? Committing Vaishnava aparadha. When the mad elephant goes into the garden, it uproots everything. So similarly, when we commit aparadha to the Vaishnava, we kill all of our devotional creepers. You know, it's like we destroy everything. And so, what is the remedy? What's the remedy being discussed? Let us hear what Haridas Thakur says. If one foolishly blasphemes a saintly devotee, one should repent, grasp the devotee's feet, weep and say, "O Master, please forgive my offense. Please give a Vaishnava's mercy to this wicked blasphemer." His heart melting with compassion, the saintly devotee will forgive the offense and compassionately embrace the repentant offender. So this is the way to free oneself, is approach the devotee and beg forgiveness and show repentance. That's the first one. So the second offense is to consider the names of the demigods like Lord Shiva or Lord Brahma to be equal or independent of the name of Lord Vishnu. And this is especially kind of misunderstood, especially among the Hindus. Maybe because the other cultures don't have so much idea about the demigods. And, but like especially with Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, because they are involved in creation and destruction, then the tendency is to think that they're equal with Lord Vishnu. And then this can become offensive. This equation, it's stated that Lord Krishna is endowed with 65 qualities. His expansions, his Vishnu expansions, have 60 of these qualities. And the jivas have 50 of these qualities, but the demigods and even Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, they have like 55 of these qualities. So there are different gradation here, and we should not make the mistake of thinking that Lord Krishna is equal to Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, especially. Lord Brahma was asked by Lord Shiva, "Who are you meditating on?" And Lord Brahma says, "My dear son," he's speaking to Lord Shiva, "I am meditating upon Govinda, the original personality of Godhead. He is the only master, and all others, including yourself and myself, are his eternal servants. It is Lord Krishna whom, knowingly or unknowingly, all of us are trying to realize by dint of our austerities, meditation, and other practices. And this was from, not the Brahma Samhita, but from the Mahabharata. But this clearly explains their position here. Brahma admits that he is a servant of Krishna, and he's telling Shiva that he is. I know there's another part where Lord Shiva himself was admitting that he's a servant of Lord Krishna, you know, and of course he's being called the greatest Vaishnava. So then we should not make the mistake of equating them together. And then how do we remedy this offense? Although one may foolishly taught Lord Vishnu on the same level as the demigods, if one understands the truth of Lord Vishnu and also repents his previous misunderstanding, then Lord Vishnu would forgive his offense. The offender will then be careful not to commit that offense again. See, so this is the way that we become clear. Lord Krishna is the friend of his devotees. His nature is to forgive their previous mistakes. He's an ocean of mercy, an ocean of forgiveness. A Vaishnava should avoid demigod worshippers. He should worship Lord Vishnu. So that's the way of thinking. So the third offense, really, there's a lot of offenses here. The third offense, to disobey the orders of the spiritual master. The jivas have traversed so many lives we have traversed of birth, disease, old age, and death, suffering the fourfold miseries. And then finally we got this human form, whereby we got the opportunity, or we have the opportunity, to become liberated from the miseries of material life and develop love for the Lord. And this is done by accepting a spiritual master. See? And now we have accepted a spiritual master, then we disobey his orders. This is not intelligent thinking. See? To disobey the order of the spiritual master is very offensive. And so we should be very, very careful about this offense. You know, whatever orders the spiritual master gives you, go and preach. I remember Srila Prabhupada used to ask his devotees, go and preach in China, or go in Japan, or go in Africa, Australia, wherever, and then the devotees would have to go. I mean, even if they don't want to go, say, they would swallow their pride, or maybe they would protest a little bit, but despite that, they would go, you see. So this is very good example, and this is how the preaching has spread throughout the world, because the devotees were willing to follow Srila Prabhupada's orders. I mean, a few of the devotees have kind of neglected the orders. There are some extreme cases, which I cannot really remember exactly, but of course Srila Prabhupada was leaning to the devotees, because knowing that the dangers of disobeying the spiritual master. See? And so, but for us, in our situation, we have to be very careful not to do so. And let us hear what Haridas says about this topic. To disobey the spiritual master is an offense. This offense blocks one advancement in devotional service. Being equally devoted to the spiritual master, Lord Krishna and the Vaishnavas, and taking shelter of the holy name, a pure devotee quickly becomes delivered. A person who has unflinching faith in the spiritual master obtains, by the power of his pure chanting of the holy name, the great church of pure love, Prema Dharma, for Lord Krishna. So we become cleared of that offense by serving the spiritual master, the Vaishnavas, rectify our offensive mentality and start following the orders of the spiritual master. To blaspheme Vedic literature in pursuance of the Vedic version. So the Vedic literature expounds some very fundamental truths that are universal. The Lord Krishna is the highest truth. He is the topmost truth. He has wonderful qualities. He is the most attractive being in the universe. The jivas are his fragmental parts, his eternal servants. They are categorized as nitya bhadas and nitya siddhas. The nitya siddhas serve him in the eternal world perpetually. And the nitya bhadas, they come to this material world, come and go like that. They fall, they rise like that. They're called, well, of course, the liberated souls are called Jiva and Mukta, always liberated and serve the Lord in the spiritual world. They're one and different from the Lord. You know, they have all the qualities of the Lord, but in minute qualities, like a drop of water in the ocean. See? So all these universal truths. The souls have a relationship with the Lord in five ways. We know those five types of relationships. And then there's nine processes of devotional service that the soul can take to reach, to develop prema for the Lord. And finally, pure love is attained by full surrender. So these are the universal truths, and they accept it. And if we doubt this, then it becomes an offense. It becomes blasphemous to blaspheme the Vedic literatures in pursuance of the Vedic version. And what it's stated about in terms of how do we stop this offense? The remedy for that offense, if I foolishly blaspheme the Vedic scriptures and I repent, feel remorse, and again offer obeisance to the Vedic scriptures, offering flowers and tulsi, I then regularly worship the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Vedas with great care. Srimad Bhagavatam is the best of all Vedic scriptures. It is an incarnation of Lord Krishna himself. It will certainly bestow on me mercy without limit. So being repentative, and serve the scriptures, Srimad Bhagavatam, listen to Bhagavatam, then we can become free from that offense. Then this fifth offense, to consider the glories of Chanchana's imagination and to give some interpretation of the holy name. The holy name of the Lord is extremely powerful. The holy name of the Lord is the Lord himself. Within the material world, the name and the object are different. So we have the tendency to think that the name and the person, they are different. But in the spiritual world, it's not like that. The holy name is the Lord, in this sense. This is a higher understanding. There's no if and buts here, really. as what Haridas Thakur is saying. No knowledge is pure like the holy name. No vow is more powerful. No meditation or philosophy is like the holy name. No renunciation is greater than the holy name. No piety is like the holy name. The holy name is the highest liberation. The holy name is the greatest devotional source. See, so that's it. So, because of our material contamination and material programming, our tendency is to equate or to make distinction between the name and the object. See, but this is not so in the case of Krishna's holy name. It's stated that 1,000 names of Lord Vishnu is equal to one name of Lord Rama. And three names of Lord Rama is equal to one name of Lord Krishna. And that would clear all doubts there, really, in terms of how we see the name of Lord Krishna. See, and what is the way to alleviate this offense? If one commits this offense of thinking the glories of the holy imagination, one should place in a blade of grass between his teeth, enter an assembly of Vaishnavas, stay at the Vaishnava feet. One should explain his offense with a sincere heart and with plaintive words. One should beg forgiveness. Then the devotees who well know the glories of the holy name will forgive the offender and mercifully embrace him. This is powerful. The sixth offense, to commit sinful activities in the strength of the holy name of the Lord. Commit sinful activities in the strength of the holy name of the Lord. And this is a very dangerous offense. Generally, not all devotees are guilty of many of us may not commit many of these offenses, but some of them we may be guilty of. And even this one, to some extent, you know, to commit sinful activities in the strength of the holy name, this one is very, very dangerous. We are told, no, we should follow the four regulative principles. No meat eating, no gambling, no illicit sex, no intoxication. And of course, there are other sinful activities, you know, lying, stealing, and so forth, you see. But if for some reason we commit these activities and think that because we are devotees we may be spared, then that's a very great blunder and a very great offense. And the devotee has to suffer in different ways. I mean, in one sense, when we're in devotional service, many of our sufferings come from offenses, Vaishnava aparad, you know, in different ways. And we have to be open-minded enough to see it that way and sometimes examine our life, be introspective as to what we have done and try to rectify the situation. The understanding, sometimes these sinful activities, these forbidden activities, sometimes we misinterpret them in ways, and and tend to indulge in them again. Like meat eating, it's not only meat eating, but even product that contains meat inside is bad, you see. Intoxication, you know, sometimes not fully alcohol, but maybe products with intoxicants. Maybe in terms of if one is sick and one has to take some medicine, maybe some medicine may have alcohol, but one is not willfully taking it as an intoxicant, but he's trying to cure his ailment. So that is on a different situation. If in terms of illicit sexual connection, this has a very deep meaning also. Haridas Thakur was saying that only the grihastha is allowed to associate with his wife, but the other ashrams, they're not allowed to associate with women. You see? And then even went on to say, but even in terms of connection, when sexual activities is only allowed for procreation, and when there is no procreation, then there's no such activity. This is the real purport of that term. You know, illicit sexual connection. And so it's something we have to take into deep consideration. It's not a simple thing, you know, thing. So let us hear what he says about alleviate remedy of this offense. If one foolishly commits sin on the strength of chanting, one should purify himself by staying in the association of pure Vaishnavas. Sinful desires are highwaymen that lay in wait. Pure Vaishnavas are guards that protect travelers on the highway. By chanting the holy name, one loudly calls for the guards. The guards come and the highwaymen flee. Chant the holy name with love, O my brothers. Do not fear. Hear this. The Supreme Lord himself has said, I will be your protector. You see? So by taking shelter of the Vaishnavas and repent of our sinful activities, then we can be alleviated from this sinful act. So that's committing sins while chanting the holy names. To consider chanting as a ritualistic activity, material ritualistic activity. And there are many, many material ritualistic activities. So time is running out, I'll try to speed up, right? Anyone who thinks that the holy name is material will be burdened by many sufferings. The ritual activities are ishta pujas, jagyas, pious deeds, ritual bath, homa, charity, yoga, travel to holy places, vows, worship of pitas, worship of demigods, yoga meditation, atonement. These give only temporary results and delay perfection. So even though we may do these things, you get some results, but they delay our perfection in devotional service. So what did he say? How did we one who does not waste time in useless activities, who associates with saintly devotees, and moment after moment remembers the holy name, will find himself plunged into nectar as he remembers the holy name. He will not desire anything else. In this way, in the association of devotees, his fault will go away. So That's how we alleviate ourselves from that offense. Turn shock a faithless person in the holy name. This is also, it's a great offense, but also, how do you know one is faithless? I mean, as a preacher, you have to preach. You have to tell them of the holy name. But if despite hearing what you're saying, they're still faithless, and you tell them of the holy name, then they can make a joke out of it. Haridas Thakur says it's like throwing pearls at swines. Give jewel to a swine, or give clothing to a monkey. You see, what they would do with it, really. The swine might eat the jewel. The monkey would tear the clothing, you see. So a faithless person. And a question was asked, well, what about Jagai and Mara? But it stated that Lord Chaitanya imbibed faith in them first, then he gave them the holy name. So this is an offense. We have to be careful. But I mean, even me myself online, I would advise, give up the sinful activities and recite the names of Krishna. I would say recite Krishna mantra, the way I would put it. Give up sinful activities. I would explain the four sinful activities, except no meat eating, no gambling, and so forth. And chant the Krishna mantra, or sing the Krishna song. Sometimes we'll put it that way, in an easier way to make it jolly for people. But then there are so many faithless people that are listening to it. I mean, are exposed to it. So how is that? Am I implicated in anything? You know, I have to consider it more carefully. Yeah, but so how do we elevate ourselves from this offense? Now, thinking that Lord Krishna is one's holy wealth, one should worship Lord Krishna's feet, turn away from material sense gratification, one should chant Lord Krishna's holy name. Turn away from the waves of sense pleasures, one should seek out saintly devotees, associate with them and serve them. So basically, most of these are telling you to seek the association of advanced devotees. And then at the end of the study here, if a person, the seriousness of committing offense, if a person is greedy to attain true devotional service, he should avoid the 10 offenses and take shelter of the holy name. One by one, he should carefully renounce the 10 offenses. In his heart, he should lament that ever he committed them. He should honestly surrender to the feet of the holy name. By the holy name's mercy, his offense will be destroyed. By this, his offenses to the holy name will be destroyed. He need perform no other atonement. So I would stop here, really. I mean, you know, it's a serious topic, really. But at the same time, I must admit, I'm not such a great preacher to make it enlightening, you know, sort of thing. So I'll stop here. Is there any comment or any additions, and anything? Yes, Mataji. But this was eye-opening for me, because a lot of things I didn't know until I read this Harinam Chintamani. Yes, Mataji.
Yes, thank you for getting into more detail of these offenses. Somewhere, I can't remember where, in a purport, Srila Prabhupada described that first offense, blaspheming the Vaishnavas, you said deriding the devotees who have dedicated their lives. And I looked up that word, it means belittle. So blaspheme doesn't mean just like throwing a curse at somebody or calling them a name, and, you know, like that, and harboring a grudge, but to belittle, sometimes in conversation with others or something, somebody comes up, the topic of something, just to, we have to be so careful.
That's true, that's true. Yeah, that's a very great point you made here. Yes, yes. And when we're associating with devotees, you know, we have to be very conscious with our dealings. And sometimes familiarity also, you know, breeds, what is it, sometimes contempt. You know, sometimes, you know, you become too familiar with a person and you kind of, you know, you sometimes take advantage of the situation and even slight that person. You have to be very careful of these things. Hmm. Yes. Any other point? Yes, Mataji?
Prabhu, we understand that Krishna, the holy name and Krishna is the same. So, what does that mean in the sense of, like, let's say we are praying, we're chanting the holy name, and you're saying that we ask forgiveness from the holy name, and holy name is a person, so is and he is Krishna. So, do we go in front of Radha Shyam and knowing that he's the holy name, we ask forgiveness from him? Is that how it works?
Well, yes, I mean, we can see it that way, and we can see it exactly that the Lord and the name, they are the same, and if we commit an offense, you know. But specifically, Haridas speaks here that people on the holy name itself, you know, I mean, which means the mantra itself, you're talking to the mantra like you're talking to a person, you know, I mean, it seems that way. I mean, like you're speaking to the holy name like you're speaking to a person, you know, that it seems from what Haridas Thakur is saying here. What do you think, Prabhu? Yeah, yes, the what did you say? Prabhu? The Maharaji is saying that the holy name, right, the holy name is a person. And we were establishing the fact that the holy name is none different from the Lord. It is the Lord also. So the Maharaji was asking if we commit an offense, how we relate to it really. Do we go to the deities and talk to the deities, seeing that the deities and the holy name is one? I mean, that is one way, certainly. But also, I know Haridas specifically says here, you speak to the holy name.
Holy name is a form, but it's a person. A holy name is not different, and it's a person that can be a form. So what is the form of the holy name?
Yeah, well, we're touching topics on the absolute level. And Here, Gadagraj is going to explain this thing clearly. Prana, you're leaving. I thought you would give some.
Yeah, it's like you open your Pandora box in there at 9 o'clock.
Oh, okay. Okay, fine. Yes, Gadagraj, what did you say? Yes, but what your suggestion is, you know, you go to the deities and you know, you explain and talk to the deities and, you know. Yes, God or gods?
It's absolute, it's not relative, it's not like...
absolute, not
material. Relative. It's spiritual, and it's absolute, it's unlimited. So you're saying, like the form.
Well, throughout this Chintamani, Haridas Thakur is treating the holy name like a person, you know? And of course, I can't pretend that I'm on the platform of Haridas Thakur, you know, in no way, shape, or form, really, anything. But let us put it this way, you know, you go to the deities and speak to the deities and so forth, and clarify our misconceptions, you know, back from there. Okay, we'll anything else? For? Oh, somebody else is going to say something.
I know, I'm not trying to answer her, just adding a comment. Mm-hmm. One Sachinandan Swami said in Japa retreat that normal people have Shirodakshai Vishnu in their heart. Is that right, Shirodakshai?
Yes.
Yeah. But when you start chanting, then slowly, slowly Radha Krishna start revealing yourself. And then in another class recently, it was said that Lord Gauranga appears in your heart. So.
Okay. Thank you so much. Okay, Srimad Bhagavatam ki.
Yeah.